go ahead and take them and turn them to Luke chapter number 1. Luke chapter 1 is where we'll be this morning. These will be very familiar verses to everybody. Let me say, first of all, that I love Jesus. That's the only reason I'm here this morning. All right. I love the Christmas season, too. The church looks beautiful. Got the trees up, all the poinsettias and flowers going. So I'm thankful for this time of year that we can come together. And come, let us adore Him, is what the Bible says. We don't come to put on a show this morning or do anything to be recognized. We just come to uplift the name of Jesus. So if you have your Bibles and you've opened up to Luke chapter number 1, go to verse number 26. Verse number 26 is where we'll start. Should be very familiar verses to everybody, especially around this time of year. The Bible says in verse 26 here, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, bring forth a son, shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning. Lord, we thank You that we've come in here to worship the name that is above every name. And Lord, I pray now that as we come to open up Your Word, I pray that, God, that You will open up the hearts of Your people. God, I pray that the Holy Spirit will be in this place with us. I pray that He'll walk up and down the aisles of this church, speak to every single heart in here this morning. And Lord, I pray that as we speak, I pray that they won't hear my voice, but God, I pray that they will hear the Holy Spirit's voice speaking directly to their hearts. And God, we thank You so much for one day 2,000 years ago sending Your Son to this earth to die for us. And I pray, God, that just today that Your name will be high and lifted up. And God, I pray for those people that have walked in here that have a need. I pray that You'll meet their need this morning. And God, we thank You so much for forgiving us of our sins. Lord, we ask that You just be with us the rest of this service. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Well, as we've moved past Thanksgiving, and probably the day after Thanksgiving, everybody put up their tree. If you're like us, you put it up a week before Thanksgiving because you just can't wait. Some of you have already spent almost every dollar that's in your bank account on presents. You've got all your Christmas lights up. You got the Christmas music blaring in your car. And as we come towards the time of Christmas, let me say this. Just don't forget the reason that we celebrate it. And let me say this. I know that we read the story of the birth of Jesus Christ over and over and over. I can't tell you how many times I've read it since I've been going to church. It's easy to read right through it and just keep going, because we've read it so many times. But let me say this. Don't ever get over the fact that Jesus came to this earth. Don't ever get over the fact that Jesus was born of a virgin. Science can't explain it. There's no way to explain it. The only way to explain it is to say the word God. Ask God this year to not just allow you to read through this gospel and just read it and say, well, I've heard that before. But can I say, when you read the story of the birth of Jesus Christ, just don't read through it. Ask God to let you stand in awe of it again. like it's the first time you ever read it. Remember the first time you heard about Jesus being born in Bethlehem of a virgin? It blew your mind. Can I tell you, God can do it again. God can let you stand in awe of the fact that Jesus came to this earth to be born. Because you know, as I was reading Luke chapter number 1 and Luke chapter number 2 this year, as I do often getting prepared for this December, I noticed something that I've never noticed before. And that's what the Bible does. You can read it 1,000 times to get something new every time. But I noticed something. Around this story of the birth of Jesus Christ, there are angels everywhere. And every time the angels showed up to these men and women, they had a very specific message to give. And in Luke chapter number 1, in verse number 13, the angel comes to Zacharias, which is John the Baptist's father. And you know the first two words he said to Zacharias? Fear not. In verse number 30, the angel Gabriel comes to Mary and says two words. Fear not. In the book of Matthew, the angel Gabriel then comes to Joseph right after he comes to Mary. And you know what he says in Matthew chapter number 1 and verse 20 to Joseph? Fear not, Joseph. And in Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 10, right after Jesus was born, the angels show up to these shepherds in a field. And just somebody guess what the first two words they say to the shepherds are. Fear not. So as you read the story of Jesus Christ, you'll see that wrapped around the story of the birth of Christ is this message. Fear not. And that's the message that we want to give this morning. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know where you are. I don't know what you're afraid of. But can I say, fear not. What is fear? The Greek word for fear here in the verses that I just read is the Greek word phobeo. The definition of that, if you look it up, it means to be alarmed, to be sore afraid, or I like this one, to cause to run away. One of the strongest, if not the strongest, emotion in the human body is fear. And I heard somebody say the other day that kind of brought on this thought. They said, it's funny what you'll do when you're scared. It's funny the things that you do when you're scared. Fear will make you do things you never imagined you would do. Fear will affect every single area of your life if you allow it to. And in the year 2018, if you look around, if you turn on the TV, if you turn on the news, it seems like there's a lot to fear in this world that you and I are living in. I was born in the year 1993. And can I say, for those of you that were older in 1993, you can look back to that day and you can find that in the year 2018, there's a lot more to fear than there was in 1993. There's a lot more going on today than there was 25 years ago. And in the nation that you and I live in, people are scared to go certain places for a rightful reason. People are scared to say certain things. There's fear all around us. You and I live in a nation that's filled with fear. You and I live in a nation that's filled with worry. And you and I live in a nation that's filled with anxiety. There are people in the hospital this morning with the diagnosis of anxiety. And there's people dying this morning of anxiety. And we live in a nation that is just downright filled with fear. But can I say, the story of the birth of Jesus Christ, it brings hope. And it says this, although we live in a world that's filled with fear, filled with worry, filled with anxiety, we need not fear. For the angels came to Zacharias, to Mary, to Joseph, and they had this message, fear not, for Jesus is ever near. Jesus is almost here. Fear not. And you and I, in the world that we live in, there can be a lot of fear, but we need not fear, for Jesus is ever near. You know, when I was a kid, I hated being by myself. I was scared of the dark. I was scared of sleeping by myself. I didn't like any of it. And I remember one night, I was probably about 6 or 7. I was laying in the bed and I woke up out of a dead sleep at 3 a.m. because something loud, one of the loudest noises I've ever heard, shook the whole house. And I woke up, sat straight up out of the bed, thinking, what in the world was that? And I looked outside my window and I see this big flash of light come down and I realized that there was a storm. And then I realized that night I was scared of something else too. Storms. So here I am laying in my bed all alone, which I didn't like in the first place. Laying here in the dark, which I don't like in the first place. And now I'm laying here and it's dark, I'm alone and it's storming, and I don't like it. And you can imagine the first thing I did. Threw off them covers, and my parents' room was across the house, and I took off, boy. My dad probably had to wake up at 3:30 to go to work, but I did not care. As soon as I stepped in that carpet of their room, I leaped on the bed. Probably scared him half to death. And I got up right beside him, and I said, Dad, I'm scared. Can I just stay here? And he said, yeah, that's fine. And he wrapped his arm around me. And you know, for some reason, the fear that I had in my room began to fade away because I was sitting right beside my dad. And I got to thinking, you know, in my room it was dark. In my room it was storming. In my dad's room it was dark. In my dad's room it was storming. Over here I was scared. Over here, for some reason, I wasn't scared anymore. Can I tell you the only difference? I had somebody beside me who was bigger. I had somebody beside me who loved me more than he loved himself. And I had somebody beside me who told me that he would protect me at all costs. Can I tell you, in this world, you might be scared, you might be filled with fear, but can I say you can run to somebody who is bigger than you? You can run to somebody who loves you more than he loves himself. And you can run to somebody who says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Because we have a Father up in heaven who says, I can be your refuge in time of fear and in time of trouble. And that's the story of the birth of Jesus. It's one of the impacts that it has on you and me. That just when we start getting close to him, fear may be in this world, but for some reason, when you get close to Jesus, your fear starts to slip away. Fear not this morning, for Jesus is closer to you than you can ever even imagine. And I want to give you 3 things that the Lord gave me this week, and we'll go get a piece of chicken. Number one, I want to say, fear not the unknown. Fear not the unknown. See, Mary, in this passage that we read, I'm sure she had a lot to be afraid of after this angel came to her and said, you're going to have a son. She's thinking, well, what is my fiancé going to say when I tell him I'm pregnant and it ain't his? What about when I go out in town and they start seeing my shirt and my stomach get a little bit bigger and I'm not even married? Well, what are they going to say? And then what are they going to say when I tell them that it's God's child? That it's not conceived of Joseph, it's not conceived of a man, it's rather conceived of God, and this is going to be the Son of God. What are these people going to say? See, this time wasn't a comfortable time for Mary. This time, I'm sure she had a lot of fear in her life after Gabriel left her. And the fear was, she has no idea what's coming next. She has no idea what's going to happen next in her life. And she fears what she does not know. Can I tell you and I are the exact same way. The biggest fear that you and I have is the unknown. The biggest fear that you and I have is the things that we don't know. We have no idea what may come next in our life. And because we don't know, it scares us. You, if you're like me, you want to know everything. If you're like me, you want to have everything figured out step by step by step by step. And when it's not, you begin to get a little bit fearful. and afraid. And when we can't rationalize our life out and see how the outcome is going to be, it brings fear. We begin to say, well, what if this happens? If this happens, then this will happen. Well, what if this happens? What if this happens? And we work ourselves into a panic attack. But can I say, half the things that we fear are going to happen, 90% of them never happen. At least that's what I've found in my life. Half the things that I fear, 90% of them never come to pass. I'll give you an example. When Monica and I were dating, I lived down in South Carolina and she still lived up here. So just about every other weekend I would drive up here 2 hours and we would spend the weekend together and she would do the same thing usually the next weekend. But I remember I was working and usually every Friday I'd get off about 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock from my job and I would head straight up here to Lincolnton. And I remember I was walking around my job and it was about 11 o'clock. I was getting ready to be done, getting ready to drive up here. And Monica texts me, and I pulled out my phone, and I saw a text. And it said, when you get here, we need to talk. And some of you men know exactly what I'm talking about. You think God's scary. She'll put the fear of God in you. And I started walking around that gym, and I thought, oh, Lord Jesus, what have I done now? And I got to thinking in my mind, all right, what could it be? What is she going to talk about? Could it be this? Could it be that? Oh, Lord. My heart's just a beating, boy. I got in the car. I called her. I said, all right, well, what did you want to talk about? She said, I'll tell you when you get here. And you want to talk about the worst two-hour drive I've ever had. I'm in there praying, dear Lord, if this is a time for the rapture to happen, let it happen today before I get to North Carolina. I pulled in the driveway, get my stuff out of the car, and walking in, I'm thinking, oh God, here we go. You don't know what that means, don't you? My head hurts, my stomach hurts, I can't find my cigarettes. All right. And I get in there, I said, well, what did you need to talk about? She looks at me and she says, well, I wanted to talk about what we're going to buy each other for Christmas. I said, that couldn't happen on the phone. I've been scared the last 2 hours that you're going to leave me, that you're going to do something to me. And you just want to know what you're getting for Christmas. And all the things that I feared riding up the road, guess what happened? None of it happened. And that two-hour drive was the worst two-hour drive for absolutely no reason. And I worked myself into a panic attack for nothing. But to get more serious about that, that's how we worry about things that we don't know. Can I say, on a more serious note, some of you get a bad report from the doctor, and he says, we'll have your test back next Friday. And you're thinking, you can't have my test back tonight? I've got to wait 7 days to figure out what's wrong with me? And what do you do those next 7 days? Well, it could be this. And if it's this, what am I going to do? If it's this, what am I going to do? And that's the worst part. You just wish you could just know what it is. If you could know, it'd be a lot better, whether it's good or bad. But the fear of something that you don't know, it drives us crazy. But can I say this morning that you and I don't have to fear the unknown for one reason. Because we've got a God that knows all. You don't have to fear the unknown, for our God knows all. And theologians call this omniscience. The word omniscience simply means all-knowing. And the Bible tells us that our God is omniscient, which means He is an all-knowing God. God knows everything, things actual and things possible. Because God knows all things perfectly, He knows no thing better than the other thing, but all things equally well. God never discovers anything. God's never surprised. God's never amazed. He never wonders about anything. God doesn't seek information from anybody. And God does not ask questions because He already knows it all. So when you see in the Bible when God walks up to Adam in Genesis chapter 3 and says, Adam, where are you? He's not asking because He doesn't know. And when God asks a question in the Bible, He's not asking because He does not know. He's asking that you might answer. He's a God that already knows all things. You've probably heard this quote before. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? Absolutely nothing has crossed God's mind and said, I didn't think about that. Ever. Absolutely nothing has ever crossed His mind. In Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, it says this, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before Mary and Martha ever came to Jesus to tell Him that His brother was sick, Jesus already knew it. Jesus already knew that Lazarus was sick and that Lazarus was going to die. And we may live in a world is filled with the unknown. But can I say we have a God that knows absolutely everything. So fear not the unknown this morning. Number two, fear not the circumstances. Fear not the circumstances. So often you don't fear the unknown, but you fear things that have come to you. You say, I don't wonder anymore if I have cancer. I do have cancer. You say, I don't wonder anymore if the worst is going to come. The worst has come. And the circumstances of your life have crippled you. And they've torn you down. And you say, I don't fear the worst. The worst is already here. But can I say you need not fear the circumstances either? See, we don't fear the unknown because God already knows all. Can I say we don't fear the circumstances either? For God is sovereign. You say, what does sovereign mean? The sovereignty of God means that He is in complete control of all things. He is in complete control of all things. Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter number 10. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The sheep hear His voice, and He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. And when He puts forth His own sheep, He goeth before them. See, the Bible says that Jesus is our shepherd. And the Bible says when He puts you out of the gate, that He does not let you go out by yourself. But the Bible says that He goes before you. And He stands in front of you and leads you all along the way. And the greatest comfort that you'll ever find is knowing that Jesus Christ is your shepherd. Knowing that He is your shepherd. Because the Bible says that He goes before you. And when you think about that, our shepherd is bigger than anything else in this world. Our shepherd is better than anything else in this world. And when things come to you, they don't come to you by accident. Because when your shepherd is in front of you and things get to you, that means it had to go by Him first. In order for your circumstances to get to you and to touch you, it had to go by the shepherd first. And it had to get past Him. See, in order for it to get to you, God has to approve it first. In order for it to get to you, God has to allow it first. And in order for it to get to you, it's got to go by the sovereign hand of Almighty God. You say, well, why does He allow such things to happen then? I'm not sure. But I know the Bible says, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose. So you've got to know that whatever comes into your life, God had to allow it first. That doctor's report that you got that was not good, God knew it before the doctor ever did. And that doctor's report that you got that was not good, God allowed it. And God approved it in order for it to get to you. So But just so everyone knows this morning, if anything gets to you, it has to get by the shepherd first. So we need not fear the unknown when God knows all. We need not fear the circumstances when God is sovereign over all. And thirdly, the Bible tells us we need not fear something that a lot of people fear today. We need not fear death. We need not fear death. One of the greatest fears that this world has today is death. Can I say, when you're a child of God, you need not fear that either. See, you don't fear the unknown because God knows all. You don't fear the circumstances, for God is sovereign over all. And we fear not death, for Jesus is alive. See, the Bible says in Revelation chapter number 1 and verse number 17, guess what the two first words Jesus says to John? Somebody guess. Fear not. Revelation 1 and 17, He looks at John and says, fear not. I'm the first and the last. I am He that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. See, when the three women went to find Jesus in the tomb that Sunday morning, they found something that they weren't expecting to find. They went to the tomb that Sunday morning to anoint His body with oils, to basically have the funeral form that they never got to have. And they walked in the tomb that morning, and guess what they found? They didn't find Jesus. But rather, they found an angel sitting on this side of the tomb, and they found another one sitting on this side of the tomb. And guess what the two first words the angel said to them girls were? Fear not. I know ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified, for He is not here. Behold, He is risen, as He said. Fear not. And the reason we don't fear that this morning is because Jesus Christ is alive. And we men especially have a hard time admitting when we're scared. We men have a hard time admitting when we're filled with fear. But if you're here this morning, man or woman, and you don't have that relationship with Jesus Christ, can I say, death is scary. Death ought to be fearful. Because the Bible says that at any moment, your heart could stop beating at any moment. And you couldn't have another breath of air to breathe. And the Bible says that your next destination, if you haven't trusted in Jesus Christ, is a place called hell. But see, the Bible says that when you and I trust in Jesus Christ, that when we've been born again, that our next destination is a place called heaven. And you and I, as the sheep of Jesus Christ, we need not fear death. Jesus said, because I live, ye shall live also. But that statement is only to the sheep of Jesus Christ. That statement is only to the sheep. You say, well, how do I become one of the sheep? Jesus said this. He said, I am the door. And He says, if by me any man enter in, he shall be saved. So I ask you this morning, have you ever walked through the door into a relationship with Jesus Christ? Walking through the door of this church does not mean we're saved. Walking through the door of doing good works and doing good things and having religion won't save us. Can I tell you, the Bible says that when we walk through the door of Jesus Christ, we are saved. And I'm thankful this morning for one day that I've walked through the door. You know, this world that you and I live in, it's is filled with fear. It's filled with worry. It's filled with anxiety. It's filled with the unknown. It's filled with circumstances that cripple us. But let me say one more time this morning as we close. Musicians, you can come forth. You say, I fear the unknown. Well, get beside the one who knows it all. You say, well, I fear the circumstances that have come to me. Well, get beside the one who allows everything to come into your life. And you say, well, I fear death this morning. Can I say, get beside the one who beat it? And get beside the one who is alive forevermore. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior this morning, let today be the day that you walk through the door and give Him your life. Can I tell you, when you walk through the door, you say, I can't live the Christian life. I can't do what He's called me to do. Can I say, you don't have to. Because when you walk through the door shuts behind you. And it closes right there. So this morning, you may fear the unknown, you may fear the circumstances. The Bible says, fear not. For I am with thee always. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. Lord, we thank you for the ability to know you as our Savior. And we thank you this morning that you are the shepherd of the sheep. And God, we thank you that you're our shepherd that leads us into green pastures, leads us beside the still waters, and comforts us when we're down. So God, I pray this morning that for everybody who walked in here this morning, I pray, God, that you will comfort their hearts. And I pray, God, that if they fear something, I pray that you'll comfort them and show them that there's nothing to fear when you are around. Lord, we thank you for all you've done. I pray you'll have your will and your way in this invitation. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.